Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorai. Today we're going to talk about human trafficking. We're also going to talk about the bills that are being considered in Tallahassee and around the country to restrict voting. And we'll also talk about the anti-protest bill. There's a lot going on, so stick around. We'll talk about some of the major issues in Florida in the next hour. First, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we had a guest on who had gone to medical school for free in Cuba. He was originally from Texas. Now he practices in Hillsborough County, and he's calling for an end to the Cuban embargo that the U.S. has imposed for the last 60 years. After the program, we got this call.
Vinny Scully calling from Dunedin, Florida. I'd like to say that while your caller has pronounced the situation with our embargo on Cuba as crazy, we don't know the reason for it. I'd like to put forth the proposition that since United Fruit owned half the arable land in Cuba at the time of the revolution, and the directors of the board of United Fruit was the Dulles brothers, the Auchincloss family, and other CIA types, that is the reason. If you want to define crazy in the United States foreign policy, always look for the CIA and, of course, the oil interests, and you'll typically find the answer. But with Cuba, it was United Fruit. 50% of the arable land was owned by them. They got kicked out by the revolution, and they will never forgive that and never allow us back in unless we have the political will as a country to reverse that ridiculous policy, inhumane, abhorrent policy towards Cuba.
Well, that was a listener comment that came in after yesterday. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Remember, throughout this program today, you can call in and comment about the range of topics that we'll be talking about. And our number is 813-239-9663. Also, you can send your email into the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. There's a lot to cover. First of all, let's talk with State Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa. She's a Republican, and she's sponsoring a human trafficking bill in Tallahassee. We're going to talk with her first. But there's also a lot going on today in Tallahassee, including a big bill against about the anti-protest bill, HB1, that is a top priority of the Republican leadership in Tallahassee. So we'll talk with her about that bill. We'll also ask her a question about the Georgia election law as it pertains to cracking down on mail-in voting, making it harder to mail-in vote. And we'll talk about that with her as we talk with State Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa about her human trafficking bill. Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa, thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
You're sponsoring HB 523, which is about human trafficking. What would your bill do that we don't already do in state law here in Florida?
Well, the bill has three components. One is it creates a victim advocate training program under the Attorney General so that we can provide consistent information to the victims. The second part of it deals with the victims and giving them an opportunity to go on with their life, and it seeks to expunge their records in a very timely manner without any cost. So that is totally different than what we're doing for victims right now. And the third part is the prosecution reform. So the victims do not have to face their prosecutors, and depositions will be changed and allow the state to step in like they do in domestic violence cases.
Why have you taken an interest in this, and why is the bill necessary?
So it's happening, it's prevalent in our backyard, and it's growing in numbers, and we want to send a clear message in Florida that we do not tolerate human trafficking, that we do not welcome it. And I've talked to several victims who just feel like there's nothing for them to do, that they're going back to their traffickers because there's no way to get out of that lifestyle. So I think victims need to be treated fairly and not like criminals.
You've talked to several victims. How big is the problem of human trafficking in Florida? And tell us the areas in which the trafficking occurs.
It's huge, and like I said, it's growing, and it happens mainly in bigger cities, mainly during big events. But it can also happen in rural areas where they prey on the vulnerable. And it's an exploitation of vulnerabilities. So if maybe someone is seeking a better life, someone can take them out of a certain environment, put them in a different environment. A lot of victims don't even think they're being trafficked until it's too late. Then, you know, they're in the process. Maybe they've committed some crimes and they can't get out of the lifestyle they live in. So we just want to make sure that people understand what human trafficking is, awareness of it, and educate them and people to know the signs of human trafficking so that they can help others.
Representative Toledo, over the years, I've covered a lot of cases where farm workers are trafficked, that they pay somebody, a coyote in Mexico, who transports them here to Florida to work under slave-like conditions, really, in Florida. Would this bill apply to those folks as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it is modern-day slavery. So whether you're using a person for sexual activity, which is human trafficking, sexual activity, or labor human trafficking, it's still illegal, and we want to make sure that we do not tolerate that.
And where does the bill stand right now, and does it have a Senate companion?
It does have a Senate companion. It is moving in the Senate by Senator Diaz, and it's going through the process. Right now, we're going to be hearing it in the next committee or a third committee stop, and then hopefully on the floor very soon. This is something that is bipartisan and has support from legislators on both sides.
And Representative Toledo, as we speak right now, there's going to be a vote this morning on the bill that would increase penalties on protesters if those protests turned violent. I just wonder how you're going to vote on it, and why are you going to vote the way you're going to vote?
So I will be voting up on the bill. You know, especially I received many calls from constituents that were fear their life, their children's lives when these protests were happening that turned violent, that were closing down streets. I mean, if you had your son or daughter driving and the street was closed, people were banging on your car. I don't know if your teenage son or daughter knows how to react, what their rights are. So we have to be clear on what consequences there are. You cannot be violent. You can peacefully protest, but it really has to be clear.
And isn't it already against the law to bang on somebody's car if they're in a protest?
Apparently, it's not clear enough. So we need House Bill 1 to clarify what the consequences are for that type of behavior, which, again, we will not tolerate that.
And one other question that is about voting. Yesterday, the state of Georgia passed and the governor signed a bill to limit mail-in voting in Georgia and other things, too. I just wonder, similar bills coming up in Tallahassee. What are your thoughts about the restrictions that Florida is considering on mail-in balloting?
So I don't know what Georgia did yesterday. Again, I was here working in Tallahassee, but I know we have a bill that would make some reforms. I love mail-in voting. I find it very convenient. But if there are abuses, we have to close those loopholes and make sure that, you know, no one's there's no abuse. I know when I was canvassing, I talked to someone who I knocked on their door and asked them to vote for me. And they said, oh, someone already picked up their ballots. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean someone who picked it up? She said, I don't know. They said they're with the supervisor of elections. Now, I was speaking Spanish to this person. I don't think they knew what was happening. And I found it shocking that someone was going in neighborhoods. Again, people that probably aren't as educated as some other people, and their ballots were taken.
Mm.
So something needs to happen.
All right. So so you're inclined to vote in favor of whatever bill comes forward regarding mail-in voting?
Yeah, I mean, it will go through the process. It will have an opportunity for public input and people who are stakeholders to input. So once it hits the floor, the bill will have been vetted like all other bills. So, you know, I will review the bill in its entirety and make sure it's something that I agree with.
Well, Representative Toledo, thanks a lot. If people want to find out more about HB 523, your bill about human trafficking, what's the best way to find out more?
You can go on the myfloridahouse.gov website and just put in 523. You can go on my Facebook page, Toledo for Tampa is my hashtag, and find out more information. And I would love if you have personal stories or know of a victim and you can connect me with that person. I would love to hear their stories as well.
Well, State Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa, thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you.
Well, that was an interview I did just about an hour ago with State Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa. She's a Republican, and she's a sponsor of HB 523, which is a human trafficking bill that is making its way through Tallahassee. You also heard I asked her questions about mail-in voting and also questions about the anti-protest or anti-riot bill that will be voted on today in the House. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Augie in Sarasota. Augie, thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about so far?
Well, I comment on this sex trafficking thing because I'm fairly familiar with it. The biggest issue with sex trafficking is statutory rape, because so often, and that's what I wanted to speak to the representative about it, it's my understanding that between 11 and 15-year-olds are the ones primarily being used in sex trafficking. The methods and so forth are all over the map with gatherings up, and mainly are white children, by the way, but they gather them in malls, they trick them, there are results of families kicking them out, all of that. But the statutory rape issue is the big one. I have recommended a long time ago that we need to put what is called a John's Law, that if you contract through money or handshakes or any kind of contractual arrangement to use someone underage, you're effectively doing and acting upon them sexually as statutory rape, and it's a jail term for that, just for that. So what often happens in this system that we think we have, which is ridiculous, we have girls underage being treated as prostitutes, as adults committing crimes within under the auspices of pimps, etc. Rob, so this thing is not well understood. And the John's Law, I was told by a political individual at one time, because I talked about lowering the number of people in the various prisons for drug use and what have you, but he said to me, well, if you're going to have a John's Law, the prisons are going to be filled up even more so. I said, but that might be the right people to put in prison, except that they would all be politicians. So this whole thing, Rob, is concealed, but a John's Law is to scare the pants off of a lot of people that they would be publicly known. All these things could occur. So I was hoping you'd have that conversation, but, you know, unfortunately, the pre-recorded conversation you had. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but
yeah. So you're saying that men who traffic teenage girls, there's no law against that in Florida? I'm trying to get to what you're pointing at.
Well, what happens is, well, when they're brought before courts, they get charged with attempting, which is illegal, not for statutory rape themselves, which they often are largely doing in the process of everything. Not that. But the girls are individually charged very often in this area in Sarasota as prostitutes, and the same as if they're 30 years old. It's one kind of charge.
You're saying the girls 12 to 15 are being charged with prostitution?
Yep, absolutely. That's what's wrong with this thing. So it's what matters is how they're prosecuted, and it changes from county to county and area to area, but yeah, it's often that situation. I once was part of a group and discussed this, and this woman yelled out, well, they're all whores. This is a wife of a police officer who had to go, and they charged my husband with this and that, and you can't listen to this, and the personal outrage and these moralizing individuals who do not understand that it could be their child who could be trafficked very easily. And where do they get shipped to? Well, the UAB is one of the biggest traffickers on sex trafficking for white children, white female children, especially, also boys. But, yeah, this thing is not well understood, Rob, and it needs to be looked at. Nola Thies was a woman I interviewed years ago on my television show, The Edge, and she discussed this. She's out of, I think, Fort Myers, and she was a former mayor down there, and she was personally involved. I think she's retired now. I have not talked to her in a while. But this thing is not understood, and you're dealing in children as the primary age group. And if you recall, the Epstein thing was about Trump made the comment to somebody in one of the videos about what was happening at the time. Aren't they kind of young? And that is exactly what was going on there. They are young. The FBI has films from the Epstein file somewhere that they're not letting out. But this whole thing is mostly girls 11 to 15 years of age. That's where they are. And you know, it's the three, I think.
Well, if our courts are prosecuting girls 11 to 15 years old for practicing prostitution, that seems pretty outrageous. I'll have to look more into it, Augie, because I don't know enough about it.
Well, I don't know what's happening at this moment in time, but that has been the case in my last recollection. But
okay. Yeah, I don't know enough about it, but thanks for pointing us out to something that may be a huge problem.
I think it is.
All right.
Thank you, Rob.
Augie, thanks a lot. Well, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. There's a bunch of news going on, and let me just kind of run through some of it before we go back to the phones. Dominion Voting Systems, as you've been hearing all morning on MNF and on NPR, filed a defamation lawsuit today seeking $1.6 billion in damages against Fox News, arguing that the network knowingly spread misinformation about the voting company's role in the non-existent voter fraud scheme. This is the first time Dominion has sued a media company in its efforts to collect billions in damages from pro-Trump figures who have pushed baseless conspiracy theories about voting machines. Dominion previously sued Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and sued pro-Trump's lawyer, Sidney Powell, and the pro-Trump MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. All have appeared as guests on Fox News. Another voting company, Smartmatic, baselessly was accused of taking part in an international communist plot to rig the election for Joe Biden. They filed a $2.7 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox and some of the network's top personalities, Giuliani and Powell, in February. Now, Powell moved to dismiss Dominion's lawsuit against her earlier this week, arguing, quote, that no reasonable person would conclude that her claims about election rigging were truly statements of fact. Pretty interesting line of defense there by one of the defendants. Dominion argues in this latest lawsuit that Fox News set out to lure viewers back, including President Trump himself, by intentionally and falsely blaming Dominion for President Trump's loss by rigging the election. And Dominion claims in its lawsuit, these lies transformed Dominion into a household name in the U.S., and as a result of Fox's orchestrated defamatory campaign, Dominion's employees, from its software engineers to its founder and chief executive, have been repeatedly harassed. Some have even received death threats, according to the lawsuit. And Dominion's business has suffered enormous and irreparable economic harm. So that lawsuit filed today by Dominion against Fox News. We'll see where it goes. We'll see whether or not they win or they lose. In court, it's probably going to take years. And if you want to comment about anything referred here so far, you can call us at 813-239-9663. Well, former President Trump is defending his supporters who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, saying that his supporters pose zero threats to the lawmakers who were meeting at the Capitol that day. Trump complained to Fox News yesterday that law enforcement was persecuting the Capitol rioters, and he claims nothing happened to left-wing protesters. More than 300 people have been charged in connection to the riot that included hand-to-hand combat, breaking into the Capitol, bear spray, nooses, calls for the hanging of several politicians, and five deaths on January 6th. But Donald Trump defending his supporters for what they did. 813-239-9663. Moving back to something that we talked with Representative Toledo about, as the state legislature moves closer to passing the so-called anti-riot bill, Hillsborough County State Attorney yesterday was joined by a former Florida Supreme Court justice and a former sheriff in blasting the bill, the so-called anti-riot bill, HB1. The group called the bill an unconstitutional affront to democracy. Warren is one of the few state attorneys in Florida who's actually had to deal with a protest-turned-riot, night of unrest that led to violence at Tampa's University Mall around Memorial Day of last year. Still, Warren said the bill is problematic, and he said it's so problematic it's hard to know where to start. Daniel Figueroa IV recorded what Warren said yesterday at this Zoom meeting, and here's Hillsborough State Attorney Andrew Warren.
This bill, though, rather than drawing a clear distinction between peaceful protesting and criminal conduct, actually blurs the line between them. So this bill doesn't provide any solutions to those problems that prosecutors and law enforcement face, and instead only pays lip service to public.
He was going to say public safety there, but he got cut off. Well, HB1 is officially titled Combating Public Disorder, but it's come to be known as the anti-protest bill. The governor, Ron DeSantis, first floated the idea after last year's Black Lives Matter protests. The bill creates new crimes for protesters and opens up the possibility for even those protesting peacefully to be charged with felonies. And here's what Andrew Warren said about that.
If you have 100 people who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speech and assembly, and three of them do something bad, the other 97 have now committed a crime. That should terrify anyone who cherishes our Constitution, from people who want to protest racial injustice to people who want to assert their right to the Second Amendment.
Well, that means that even those lawfully exercising their First Amendment right could lose other rights, like being able to vote or own a gun. The rights to assemble, petition for redress of grievance, and freedom of speech are all protected by the state and the federal constitutions. Former Florida Supreme Court Justice Peggy Quince yesterday said HB1 would have a chilling effect on those rights. She says it's a draconian approach that would all but silence even those who are attempting to organize peacefully. Here's former Florida Supreme Court Justice Peggy Quince.
Any organizers of peaceful protests are going to be reluctant to exercise these rights because, in essence, they and the other protesters are going to be subject to arrest without bail should any persons decide to engage in any unlawful activities.
She called it un-American yesterday. Jim Manfrey is a former Flagler County sheriff. He's now a representative of a nationwide law enforcement action partnership, LEAP. It's a law enforcement reform group. It's a group of police, prosecutors, judges, and corrections officials, and others in law enforcement. He says HB1 does nothing to increase public safety and actually makes it more difficult for prosecutors and police to do their jobs. The sheriff, the former sheriff, says that the bill promotes violence and unrest by offering immunity to some counter-protesters, even those who might kill a protester. Here's former Flagler County Sheriff Jim Manfrey.
And it seems more to score political points than it really does to enhance the ability of law enforcement to do their jobs, which they do faithfully every day under difficult and stressful circumstances. In my opinion, it is an insult.
So HB1, the anti-riot bill, as the governor calls it, and the anti-protest bill, as opponents call it, is up for a vote in the House this morning. So we'll see what happens. It's likely to pass. So if you want to comment about that, our phone number, 813-239-9663. In Georgia, yesterday, Governor Brian Kemp signed into law sweeping Republican-sponsored change in the state election laws, and that drew protests, including at least one arrest, and we heard about it earlier today on Democracy Now! Here is a report from the Associated Press about what Georgia is doing regarding elections.
The election bill passed by Republicans in the Georgia legislature includes requiring people to have a photo ID to cast an absentee ballot. Republican Governor Brian Kemp signed the measure, and in this from Georgia Public Broadcasting, Kemp criticizes opponents who say the law is designed to suppress the vote.
Left-wing groups funded by out-of-state billionaires are already doing that now. They're using outrageous, false rhetoric to scare you and put millions of dollars in their own pocket.
Georgia had record voter turnout last November, more than a million people voting by mail. The new measure cuts the time people have to request an absentee ballot, limits where ballot drop boxes can be placed and when they can be accessed, and gives the legislature and its appointed head of the state elections board control over elections and local election officials. I'm Tim McGuire.
And Florida is considering similar restrictions, and we'll find out what the state legislature does about those. The legislative session is in process right now, And as we heard from one of our previous guests, that bill is moving forward. So what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. President Biden weighed in on this at a press conference yesterday. President Biden said these efforts to rewrite state election laws were un-American. He was commenting specifically about Georgia, but it's happening in Florida and other states. And here's Joe Biden, the president, speaking yesterday about the changes in voting laws around the country.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote, deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work, deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances, is all designed. And I'm going to spend my time doing three things. One, trying to figure out how to pass the legislation passed by the House, number one. Number two, educating the American public. The Republican voters I know find this despicable. Republican voters, the folks out in the outside this White House. I'm not talking about the elected officials. I'm talking about voters. Voters. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do. And it cannot be sustained. And do everything in my power, along with my friends in the House and the Senate, to keep that from becoming the law.
President Biden yesterday talking about the changes in voter laws around the country, starting with Georgia yesterday and possibly coming to Florida and other states. Several states are considering changes in their voting laws. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Do you think the case has been made that we don't have enough laws against protesters? Do you think the case has been made that lots of people voted illegally in the last presidential election? And do you think that changes in the election law or changes in the protest laws are warranted? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And we've got an open line, so you'll be able to get through right away. I'm just going to read some of these emails that have come in. Mike in St. Pete, regarding one of the comments yesterday about Cuba, Mike writes, "Hey, Rob, I enjoyed your caller Dennis's candid comments on Cuban events yesterday. He let me better understand and think of Cuba as a mini Trump, a U.S. on the island with the white, Castilian, rich, evil, racist, fascist in charge at the expense of everyone else. How the rich, Trump-like voting elite Cubans were allowed here," Dennis asks you. I hope I read that right, Mike, in St. Pete, but kind of doing this on the fly. 813-239-9663. Eaton wants to know, whatever happened to the $600 stimulus payments? I think that was the first round of stimulus payments. Eaton, I don't know. I don't know everybody's case. Somebody called up yesterday and wondered whether or not everybody's gotten their current stimulus check. I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are on that. If you've gotten your stimulus check or not gotten it, and you feel you've been denied unfairly your stimulus check, let us know. If you've gotten it, let us know, too. Let's go to Mark in Dunedin for the next segment of callers. Mark, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I think Republicans really want to force reality to meet their expectations, where Democrats are willing to adjust and adapt to changing circumstances and changing ethos in society, they can only cram, that Republicans can only cram things down our throats so long. The stuff that's going on in Georgia and Florida and other places is really reprehensible, and I hope it's declared unconstitutional.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that we need more laws about protesting, or do you think that we need more restrictions on mail-in voting?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the circle of inclusion should grow larger, and we should be doing everything we can to increase voter participation. And we don't need further laws. There are all sorts of laws on the books. Look at the incursion at the Capitol. Over 400 people have been charged already, and there's no domestic terrorism statute. So I don't think anything further is necessary.
Yeah, I tend to think that there haven't been enough people arrested because, you know, just watching the video coverage, thousands of people were breaking into the Capitol or spraying bear spray at the police, and having only 300 or 400 arrests doesn't seem to measure up to the actual number of crimes that were committed that day.
Well, I understand that. There'll be a few, but I'd rather have a few folks who committed minor infractions get off than to have people who are peacefully protesting be arrested.
Yeah, clearly there were peaceful protesters that same day on January 6th.
Yeah. And the same in Florida, where you can be a peaceful protester and be arrested under this new statute.
Yeah. Mark, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting this round of the conversation.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I do think that Jackie Toledo had an interesting point, and that is that if your teenager is going out and his car is surrounded by BLM protesters, and I don't know that this happened, but if there are people knocking on the doors or, you know, rapping on the hood, what does the teenager do? But I don't know that that means that we need to create new felonies in state law or create the possibility that a driver who feels threatened can run over protesters. It seems that the solution might be to have more police on the street to let the traffic pass. But you don't need to create more penalties against protesters. And hopefully the protesters, you know, if a teenager is in a car and feels threatened, the protesters aren't banging on the car. But I don't think you need to create a felony out of it. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ron in West Tampa. Hey, Ron, you're on M&F.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think we need to make a felony out of it. I think you said it quite well. You know, I think we have enough laws on the books regarding both rioting, so to speak, the anti-rioting bill. It kind of juices up the whole idea of people who have the First Amendment right to get out in public, in the public sphere, and make their sentiments known. And this goes back a little while. I mean, I don't have any specifics in front of me, Rob, so forgive me for that. But I remember there was talk about people who were assembling to protest, things of an environmental nature, perhaps, that should they be involved in any kind of, and I emphasize what I recall they're saying, any kind of protesting, just in the public sphere, not trespassing or doing anything, that those kind of protests would be relegated to being reclassified as felony, not just perhaps a misdemeanor should anything unsavory happen. And I remember that happening back in, a couple years ago, I think, because of a pipeline protest over in Texas. So I think that's kind of been in the works by people who tend to be more on the conservative side, or more of the pro-corporate side, against public gatherings of any type. And this has been gathering steam for a long time, so it doesn't really, sadly enough, doesn't surprise me that Florida's taking it up. And I just want to say what happened in Georgia, that Voting Rights Act, I think they call it, talk about a grand misnomer. It's really a sad day for the entire country when you see this kind of thing taking place, this blatant kind of a vague form of Jim Crow rearing its head again and making people feel as if they don't have the right to come out and vote, so they want to make voting tougher, which is ridiculous. Voting should be easy, should be the easiest thing in the world to do. Why are these people so afraid of people of color or anybody exercising their basic American right to vote? That's really a sad thing, and I think our country is going backwards, not forwards. We can do much better.
Yeah, it would seem that first of all, you've got to establish that there's widespread fraud going on before you move ahead with the law, and I don't think they established in Georgia that widespread fraud is going on.
No, they didn't. As far as I can recall from the news bits I heard and things that I read, there was no evidence of any fraud taking place. There was none of the courts would hear it on the state or federal levels. All this screaming and yelling we heard from our former President Trump about, you know, voter cheating, voter fraud, whatever you want to call it. It was simply found to be unsubstantiated. And because of that, I think we've pretty much sealed the door on this speculation that there was terrible voter fraud. Gee, what a coincidence. Georgia went Democrat for the first time in, 20 years? And helped to solidify the win for Joe Biden. And now all of a sudden, Georgia's trying to tighten the noose around anybody who wants to, egad, go out and vote. I think it speaks for itself, and it's really sad. But listen, I appreciate the time. Have a great day.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. Well, we've got an open line, 813-239-9663. And we're talking about some issues in the news. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Rob. All I can say is I'm going to call these Republicans fascists. The sooner we accept this fact, the better. This is fascism in the works. I am so sick of hearing about it. And about the stimulus checks, I am low income on Social Security and direct deposit. While I got the last two stimulus checks pretty fast, I haven't gotten this one yet.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know why. I don't have a computer, but, if anybody knows the reason why, I'd like to hear it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Fran. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Palmetto. Hi, John. You're on M&F.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm good. What's up?
I think you asked the right question. We haven't established, as far as we haven't established that there are cases where people banging on the hood. I mean, you don't just fall into these things. There's got to be some common sense where you go around, whether they're having a parade or you know, whatever it is. But the same thing goes for the guy collecting votes. I would have asked her if she reported to the police and tried to. I mean, isn't that a crime? And I would bet, maybe I lose, that she didn't. But if you know, whoever told her, I mean, that would sort of put her on the spot, Toledo. That would put her on the spot, as well as how many people have been arrested for banging on the hood, you know, actually.
Well, and John, I think that's a really important point. And also, if a state legislator is making up their mind not on a wide, in-depth study of alleged voter fraud, but if she's making up her mind on getting one interaction with a voter who claimed this happened, and she didn't call the election supervisor to report it, that raises a whole list of questions about how deeply she studies the issue.
Absolutely. And if under no circumstances she record any type of a complaint being filed or somebody's, all those things are crimes. To not report them, it may not be a crime, but it's certainly a civil duty to do that. So I'd put it on the spot. I'll go on, but thanks.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you. And we've got an open line. You'll be able to get through right away. 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Pasco County. Hi, David. You're on M&F.
Hey, Rob. I just wanted to agree with your former caller there. voting should be the easiest thing to do. It's just a no-brainer, you know. Even if we have to declare a holiday or a national voting day, when it comes an important election, it's important that everybody, black, white, yellow, green, whatever, Republican, Democrat, independent, it's important that everybody get out and vote, you know. That's your...
Yeah, and I don't know why you'd have to have a picture ID, because a lot of people don't drive.
Exactly.
And so they don't go out and get a driver's license. So why would you have, and if you don't have a car and you don't have a driver's license, it's got to be a little bit difficult. Maybe you're older, maybe you're disabled, maybe you just moved down from a big city where they had public transportation and you'd never felt the need to get a driver's license. So why would you force somebody to go out and get a driver's license? It just seems like an undue burden. If you are a citizen, you are a citizen. That's not... You know, that's not something that any state government should infringe on.
I went for a period of time without a driver's license, and they had me get a Florida ID, which is similar to a driver's license. It looks like it, but it is a picture ID issued by the state of Florida.
And how was it easy to get it?
Very easy. It cost like $12, and I went to the DMV, just where I would get a license. I was not eligible for a license at that point due to back child support, which I've taken care of. I'm proud to say that I paid it off, and I do have a license now. But there is a photo ID that DMV offers.
So it was very easy. So you didn't have a transportation problem getting to the DMV office?
No. Luckily, I had coworkers that would take me back and forth, you know, roommates, and I'd have to put some gas in the car, but they were nice enough to take me to DMV to get the photo ID. And later on, you know, when I took care of the child support issue, they took me to the DMV, and I was, you know, clear to get a license.
Okay, well, I'm glad it was easy for you. You know, I think if you were disabled or a senior citizen, it might be a little bit tougher.
I agree with that. But yeah. Again, back to the voting, you know, whatever it takes. Let's you know, 2020 was kind of an embarrassment. 2000 was an embarrassment. I don't know. It's so important that people get out and... So we have true, fair elections. You know, it's the most important. Because I'm starting to lose faith in the government. I really am. I think a lot of other people are, too.
All right.
And I wish President Biden the best. You know, he bumbled it a little bit yesterday, but that's just the way he is. I mean, people make fun because he fell on the stairs. Well, you know, he's 78 years old. And he's trying, you know. And let's give him a chance. And I hope Vice President Harris steps up and helps the man with the situation on the border.
Okay. All right. David, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Hey, Rob, one more thing.
Okay.
Do you know why the St. John's River flows north?
No, why?
Georgia sucks.
All right. Thanks, David. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Keith in Lakeland. Keith, you're on M&F.
Morning, Rob. I'd like to look at a root of a lot of what is going on here, which is the First Amendment, freedom of speech. We have the freedom of speech, correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't have the freedom of false speech. The only check on that is to sue for slander, which is what we're watching Dominica do right now.
Dominion, well, yeah. Well, we have the freedom to falsely speak, but then if we falsely speak and we do harm to others and we know we're deliberately speaking falsely, then they have the right to sue us. But we have the right to say things that are true and false.
We need to change that.
Why?
Because of look at Hillary Clinton. I mean, she's evil, everything, and yet we've had 28 years of this with not one indictment. That's because the other side of the table, including Fox, understands that they can make a false accusation enough times that people believe it. And there's no way for her to prove her innocence because she's not guilty.
Yeah, but I think the problem is if you change it, you're going to appoint some entity to be the speech police. And who would that entity be?
This isn't about speech police. This is about you not telling a lie.
But how do you enforce that?
We don't now. The only
I know, but you're proposing to enforce it. So how do you, and suing is one way to do it. But how would you, beyond lawsuits, if you're saying that we've got to change that, which is how you started this, how would you change it?
There needs to be a penalty for false speech. Okay? Otherwise, you can have whole network dedicated to hedging the truth, and you end up with a following that Donald Trump had, which was huge, by people that you and I know have been falsely informed.
Well, and you've had that on AM talk radio for 40 years.
Yes, needs to be changed. Okay, we want to we don't need to change our country. We need to modify here and there. That is the
But who would be in charge of deciding which speech is okay?
Well, we have Fact Checker, which is attempting to do this with no teeth. Okay. There are mechanisms there for exposing falsehood.
Well, I think those are really important mechanisms, but I'm not sure that we need an entity to say what speech is allowed and what speech is not allowed. What do you think?
I think that you're being entirely too open to the fact that if somebody wants to systematically abuse you, the only recourse you have is to go up against, you know, Fox News. I mean, you got those kind of resources? Who does?
No, I don't have those kind of resources. Let's hope they don't attack me. Keith, thanks a lot. Thanks for your ideas. Good to hear from you. You're not going to say goodbye? Okay. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this: Republican political priorities are clear. They are now very Putin-like in their objectives. Voter suppression, check. Protests become illegal, allegedly, check. And the coup de grace is overturning a legitimate election, check, writes Kevin. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Peter in Dade City. Peter, thanks for calling 88.5 FM. Hi, Peter.
Hello. All right, so here's the thing. Free speech, you have free speech. That's great. And the thing that keeps you honest with free speech is common sense. It's just common sense. You know a lie when you hear it, but not why I called. I called about stimulus check. I've got my first one. I have my second one. My third one, they sent to a bank account that no longer exists.
Mm.
And then you go to the FAQ and it's like, okay, if it goes to a bank that doesn't exist, we'll mail you a hard copy. So now I'm waiting on my hard copy.
Well, that's no good. How did they get that old bank account? That seems really screwy.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. I'm on Social Security. So my Social Security is direct deposit every month. So how did that happen?
Yeah, how did they not know where to send the check? That's a really good point, Peter. And I don't know, has your member of Congress been any help? Did you call their office?
No, the way things are right now, I just figure I'll wait.
And you'll get it eventually?
Yeah, I'll wait 3 more weeks, see if I get it. If not, then I'll call.
I gotcha. All right, Peter, thanks. Thanks for your story. All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Greg writes, I checked the IRS website and they said that my paper check is in the mail. All right, Peter, thank you for that. And DeMarco writes this, I hope people have noticed that the Republicans attempting to justify their voter suppression laws with lies about voter fraud that does not exist are the only ones engaged in this crime. Go on, prevaricate voter suppression. It's the only voter fraud being committed in the country. Republicans are gaslighting. Last week on Florida This Week, my TV program, we talked about an arrest in South Florida over voter fraud. And it was an arrest of a former state senator who apparently had paid $44,000 or $45,000 to a candidate to run in a three-way race, and the candidate had the same last name as the Democratic candidate who was up for re-election. And so I think there are cases where voter fraud is happening, and I know that members of Congress are calling for a federal investigation into voter fraud, but that's not the kind of voter fraud that these laws are being passed in Georgia about or being considered in Tallahassee about. Let's go to Cliff in Zephyr Hills, who's been waiting 9 minutes. Cliff, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I'm a disabled American veteran. I'm on Social Security, and I still haven't got my stimulus check. I was reading a Federalist newspaper out of New Hampshire, which started by Benjamin Franklin, I'm assuming. But anyway, his quote in the corner as he's running the press is, in order to overthrow a democracy, you must first silence the people. And that's what's going on. Nothing more, nothing less.
Who's being silenced?
The people. You can't protest.
Yeah.
If you do, you get run over by a car, but Ron DeSantis ain't going to do nothing about it. He's going to let you go home. You just kill as many as you want. You ain't got no voice in this country. What good is it?
Yeah. All right, Cliff, thanks a lot. Thanks for your point.
Yes.
All right. I'm glad you were able to get through, too. Let's go to Q. Is it QAnon in Sebring, Florida? Q, is that you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Good. Is this QAnon, or who is this in Sebring?
No, I have a hard name to pronounce. I just told the lady that you just call me Q for short.
Okay, I got you. So what's on your mind?
Nothing much. Definitely the opposite of QAnon. I was just thinking, about... Like the other day when a guy came in and shot the people, you know, tragedy such as that happened the other day and everything. I was thinking, like, if Republicans and Democrats, you know, NRA comes in and says, oh, no, that's one person. He has a mental problem. You know, don't charge the guns. And then Democrats say to me, like, oh, we need to change something. Why can't both parties come together, right, and say, okay, this does happen. So what can we do? To me, it seems like we need a revamping of, like, the Republicans and Democrats. I think our doctrine that we hold now in the U.S. is kind of outdated. But everybody's kind of, to me, scared to change it. But I don't think change would be good. I'm not talking about Constitution and all that. That's a great legendary document. I'm talking about, like, from the way of the 60s, 70s, 50s. I think we have to go with the future, and I think we're doing it slow, and I think other countries have been doing it, and I think the U.S. has been it since the 70s, 80s, 90s U.S., and now all these countries are, you know, steadily during those years, we're kind of building up, and we kind of knew, but we didn't know, and now they're big, and China's proclaiming they want to be the most superpower, so I think U.S. has to change, too, and I don't know what the division is about. Is it the old school scared of the new change? Is it the new kids don't want to take the advice from the old people? Do the Democrats not want to talk to Republicans anymore? Do Republicans not want to talk to Democrats anymore? Trump, Biden, what are we really going to do instead of division for the gun violence, the veterans not getting paid enough, sports people getting too much of our money, stimulus packages? We don't need them, but we need them, you know? What's going on?
If you were to change the gun laws in order to avoid what happened in Colorado and Boulder on Monday, what would you change? What would you want the Democrats and the Republicans to agree to do?
And everybody asked that question, and this is what I thought about when I was today. I said, first of all, I support having a gun. Okay, that's the first thing. I don't support, and most Democrats don't support, take all the guns out of the world and the U.S. We need them. There's good people, I know. But what can we do for people who are mentally ill? Even this guy said, his brother said that he said once in a while in the store that he thought people were looking at him. So he was kind of, you know, mental.
Yeah, he had paranoia, yeah.
Okay, so what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to get these mental people and go tell on them because they might shoot something up in the future? So we have to figure out who's mental and who would kill somebody. You can have a homeless guy with a jacket or a guy with a suit and tie and go up and shoot something, and we didn't analyze his mental for years, and he lost his job, then he goes shoot some school. So we both parties have to come together and say, how do we really know who's going to do it? Otherwise, the answer is, well, it happens in life. So these things sadly happen, and we can't do anything.
All right, Q. Yep, Q, thanks a lot. I think that's why the problem is so hard. Some people think that we should address mental illness. Ted Cruz said that the other day. And some people think that nobody has a need for an AR-15. And so I think that's where the divide is. Mark writes this, Florida's HB1 and these various bills around the country to suppress voter rights are perfect examples of how the right-wingers are trying to kill democracy, writes Mark. Well, if you want to comment about today's program, please call us on the comment line number, which is 813-238-8001, and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Janelle Irwin. She's live in the studio. And thanks to Cindy Philpott and Frank Knox for working behind the scenes to make this program happen. I'm Rob Lurie. Have a great weekend. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Here's the latest news from NPR.